Hi, Dave Emery here. This is side one of For the Record program number 802, The Luxembourg Connection, subtitled What the Hell Does Dave Emery Mean by Underground Reich? Part two. This is being recorded on July 13th of the year 2014. And as Germany has won the World Cup in football, what Americans call soccer, the profound corruption of which, or in which, we talked about last week. So too, Germany is winning the World Cup in politics and economics, and doing so, the Federal Republic is doing so as the successor element to what I call an underground Reich, literally a Third Reich that went underground, and utilizing the principles of people like Friedrich, a pan-German theoretician, Friedrich Liszt, and German or Prussian military theoretician Karl von Clausewitz. They have very successfully staged their preeminence on the European, and I suspect soon, world stage. This broadcast will illustrate the underground Reich. It is going to talk about deep political and economic relationships going through the tiny country of Luxembourg and running through the decades. The remarkable and deadly Bormann capital network, about which I talk so much, will be very much in this analysis. This program epitomizes why listeners should make a point of using the SpitfireList.com website. All of my life's work is up there for download for free, as is a very important body or a small library of old anti-fascist books. Each For the Record program is turned into a long article-length written description, which for people who find my oral presentation too pedantic, that will be available for reading. Now, this program is titled The Luxembourg Connection, and through that, we're going to illustrate just what the hell I mean by underground Reich. We're going to begin by taking a look at yet another article from the very important GermanForeignPolicy.com newsletter, which feeds along the lower right-hand side of the front page of the SpitfireList.com website. This is from GermanForeignPolicy.com of June 30th of 2014. It's titled, Particularly Close to Germany. Now, what this is talking about is the new president of the EU Commission, a Luxembourger named Jean-Claude Juncker, last name spelled J-U-N-C-K-E-R. That is not only very ironic, but also exemplary, frankly, of Jean-Claude's political affiliations and history. Now, Juncker is particularly close to Germany. He is regarded as a protege of former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl. He is regarded as a champion of and as a vehicle for German political and economic interests. He is particularly dear and close to Angela Merkel, the Chancellor of Germany. I would note that Juncker's father raised him to be close to Germany. Juncker's father was in the Wehrmacht, the German army, during World War II. We have noted in, among other programs, For the Record 155, that the Bormann Capital Network, the remarkable and deadly Bormann Capital Network, is composed in considerable measure of the descendants of Third Reich operatives and officials. I would note that Juncker had his campaign managed by a guy named Martin Selmayr, S-E-L-M-A-Y-R, I may be mispronouncing that. He was formerly an executive with Bertelsmann AG, the publisher for the SS in World War II, the media company that dominates English language publishing, and there is every reason to believe that behind the scenes, Bertelsmann has retained all of its Nazi character. Again, Selmayr was the campaign manager for Jean-Claude Juncker. He also was previously the head of the cabinet of a woman named Viviane Reding, R-E-D-I-N-G, who was the EU Commissioner for Justice from also Luxembourg. And as head of her cabinet, Martin Selmayr was viewed as the real, the de facto Commissioner of Justice for the EU. It is also seen as altogether possible Selmayr will go on to become the head of Jean-Claude Juncker's cabinet as president of the EU. One of the things to note here, one of the most important things to note, is that in that capacity, he basically will be in a position to run in an altogether authoritative and undemocratic fashion the office of the president of the EU Commission. So it is a very, very important position indeed, and will in effect make him the sort of boss of things, Selmayr, that is, of the EU, if he does indeed become chief of Juncker's cabinet. So those are some of the key things to look at here. And again, the German-Luxembourg economic and political relationships are front and center. So again, this article, particularly close to Germany, from GermanForeignPolicy.com of June 30th of 2014. With Jean-Claude Juncker, Germany will have a politician as president of the EU Commission who has always been a close ally. Juncker says that since his earliest youth, unquote, he has always felt particularly close, unquote, to Germany, an affinity that grew even stronger, unquote, in later years. The former Prime Minister of Luxembourg is seen as former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl's protege, and as the mediator, unquote, in Germany's interests, wherein he had also won France over to accept Germany's standpoint on an economic and monetary union. The transition from the Barroso cabinet to that of Juncker will be coordinated by the German national Martin Selmayr, S-E-L-M-A-Y-R, who had previously been employed as cabinet director of the EU Commissioner of Justice, Viviane Reding, R-E-D-I-N-G, from Luxembourg. Selmayr, who had previously been employed as cabinet director of the EU Commissioner of Justice, was actually considered to be, quote, the Commissioner of Justice in effect. He is also considered to become cabinet director of Juncker's office as president of the Commission. Germans are at decisive posts on the Council of Ministers as well as in the European Parliament, for example, as parliamentary group whips, and the German national Martin Schulz is being considered for the next presidency of the Parliament. An influential German journal commented on the concentration of Germans at the leadership level of the EU's bureaucracy with the pronouncement that, quote, the EU speaks German, unquote. According to both his own admissions and the views of his detractors, Jean-Claude Juncker has, from the very beginning, been both personally as well as politically Germany's close ally. I have always felt particularly close to Germany since my earliest youth, unquote, he said in November of 2013. That has remained so, and in fact, grown stronger, unquote. Juncker traces this affinity back to the fact that his father, who served in the German Wehrmacht during the Second World War, had raised him to be, quote, pro-German, unquote. That had been one of his life accomplishments, unquote. Not everyone could achieve that after the Second World War, again, unquote. Politically, the EU Commission's president-elect is considered to have been former German Chancellor Helmut Kohl's protege. In the 1980s, the Prime Minister of Luxembourg, Jacques Santer, S-A-N-T-E-R, quote, introduced, unquote, his employee Juncker to European politics, unquote, according to a critical retrospection on his political biography. Chancellor Kohl then transformed him into a European political authority, unquote. I owe my influence in Europe to Kohl, Juncker admitted in October of 2012. Already in 1988, at the unusually early age of 33, Juncker was awarded Germany's Federal Cross of Merit, unquote. You have more than lived up to the hopes placed in you in 1988, praised Chancellor Angela Merkel. November 8, 2013, as she awarded him the second highest national award, the Grand Cross of the Order of Merit, unquote. Parenthetically, and we'll come back to this, Jean-Claude Juncker is a very strong advocate of the German-mandated austerity doctrine that is crushing Europe, Greece, and the other peripheral European countries or Eurozone countries in particular. More about Jean-Claude Juncker and Merkel. In a section called Opening Doors, we read, Merkel must have also been thinking of Juncker's significance for the largely successful efforts to impose German positions over those of France within the EU. Quote, not only are the Luxembourgers accustomed to the languages, the perceptions, and the cultures of both countries, both France and Germany, they also know how to effectively reconcile one with the other, unquote, observed Merkel in November of 2013 in reference to Luxembourg's historical experience of vacillating between the major powers, Germany and France. That facilitates, quote, opening doors in Europe that were thought to have been locked, unquote. Critics explain this allusion to political policy with the example of a German-French dispute in 1996. During negotiations on the essential criteria to be fulfilled by a country to join the economic and monetary union, Kohl sent the Luxembourger to sound out the French. Together with Germany's Minister of Finance, Theo Weigel, W-A-I-G-E-L, Juncker was able to win the French government's support for an independent European central bank patterned upon the German model, unquote. The fact that the German chancellor has now imposed Juncker's nomination, in particular against Great Britain's strong resistance, is a reflection of Germany's uncontested hegemonic power over the EU. In 2004, London withdrew Chris Patten, P-A-T-T-E-N, its majority-favored candidate because Paris was opposed to his candidacy. Back in those days, a certain balance in the interests of the EU's main powers was still seen as more or less indispensable. Today, this is no longer the case, in any case as far as Berlin is concerned. In Great Britain, Juncker has been met with absolute rejection by all political parties, regardless of affiliation. Even the German press has had to admit that in Great Britain, quote, almost no one, unquote, considers him an appropriate choice, unquote. The idea of beginning to search for a more consensual compromise candidate, as had been routine procedure in such cases in the past, was smugly dismissed in Berlin. Quote, since Prime Minister Cameron was unwilling to give in on the controversy over Juncker, unquote, he had to be outvoted, according to the media. The majority decision had become inevitable, unquote. Juncker owes his new post not only to the German chancellor, but to the head of his presidential election campaign team, the German national Martin Selmayr, again, S-E-L-M-A-Y-R. Selmayr had headed from 2001 to 2004 Germany's Bertelsmann AG's EU mission, and then began work as Speaker of the Luxembourger EU Commissioner Viviane Reding, where in 2010 he was promoted to become her cabinet director when she began presiding over the Commission's Justice Department. Reding allowed him so much leeway in the planning and elaboration of new proposals that some in Brussels began to see her as the doll and Selmayr as the ventriloquist, unquote, according to report. More than a few people began to consider him to actually be the Justice Commissioner, unquote. Beginning this week, Selmayr will take charge of coordinating the transition from Barroso's cabinet to Juncker's. Some observers are speculating that eventually he may be called to head Juncker's cabinet. The head of Commission President José Manuel Barroso's cabinet, Juncker's predecessor, was Johannes Reitenberger, Reitenberger, who was also a German national. In Brussels, this point is seen as extremely important. The head of the cabinet directs the bureaucracy's daily functioning and can, as is the case of state secretaries in German ministries, exercise a decisive influence over political priorities as well as their implementation, usually obscured from public attention and beyond any constraints of democratic legitimization whatsoever. German officials hold top positions in other central EU institutions as well. For example, since mid-2011, the General Secretary of the Council of Ministries, with a staff of about 2,500, is a German National General Secretary Uwe Corsepius, C-O-R-S-E-P-I-U-S, who previously headed the Europe section of the German Chancellery. Skipping down. Continuing here. The head of the European Stability Mechanism, or ESM, is Klaus Regling, R-A-G-L-I-N-G, who already from 2001 to 2008 had been in a leading position in Brussels as the Director General of the European Commission's Economic and Financial Affairs Directorate. Previous to his appointment in Brussels, Regling had served as Director General for European and International Financial Relations in the German Ministry of Finance. Klaus Welle, W-E-L-L-E, another German, is the General Secretary of the European Parliament, the Parliament's highest-ranking official. Welle is accredited with the idea of having one of the top candidates of the European elections become President of the EU Commission. Juncker, who has benefited from this, has promised to work more closely in the future with the Parliament. Aside from its German General Secretary, the Parliament is itself exposed to a predominating German influence. Of its 751 parliamentarians, 96 are from Germany, more than an eighth of the parliamentarians, one-fourth more than the second in line, France, with 74 parliamentarians, skipping down. Four of the seven EU parliamentary groups are under German leadership, unquote. So again, note the German power political hand in the Luxembourg glove, so to speak. Now again, note here, as we saw in this German foreignpolicy.com article, Jean-Claude Juncker, the son of a Wehrmacht veteran from World War II, owes his political largesse to German, basically to his role as a German gopher, so to speak. He is a protege of Helmut Kohl, was raised to be pro-German by his Wehrmacht veteran father, is a protege of Angela Merkel, and was one of the people who led, who basically helped to implement the formation of the European Monetary Union and the Euro. This, as we have seen in so many programs, most recently, for the record, 788, was the realization of the plans for first European and then world domination by Germany, envisioned by 19th century pan-German theoretician Friedrich Liszt. Note also that, as we'll see later, in addition to Jean-Claude Juncker, François Mitterrand of France, it was also one of the people who pushed for the formation of the European Monetary Union. We're going to go into Mitterrand's past a little later. Now, the thing that enabled Jean-Claude Juncker to become the president of the European Commission was the fact that this former prime minister of Luxembourg was forced to resign his position, again, after he had helped to form the EU and the EMU. He was forced to resign because of a scandal. What had happened was that his intelligence chief, basically the intelligence, I shouldn't call him his, but the intelligence chief of Luxembourg had secretly recorded a conversation in which he had debriefed then Luxembourg Prime Minister Jean-Claude Juncker about a series of bombings in Luxembourg that were traced to Operation Gladio or Operation Stay Behind. In numerous programs we have talked about Operation Gladio, the Italian strategy of tension that grew out of that. What that was a series of terrorist bombings, which were ultimately traced back to far right-wing and fascist veterans of World War II, in many cases, that had perpetuated themselves institutionally and that had created sort of a sub rosa fascist intelligence service within the intelligence services of the various NATO countries. Operation Gladio was the Italian branch or manifestation of Operation Stay Behind. That was a NATO-wide intelligence operation conceived of by Reinhard Gehlen, the Nazi Eastern Front intelligence chief, whose organization became the CIA's and then NATO's de facto intelligence organization for the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe. It evolved into the BND, maintaining all of its Nazi character. It was, that is to say, Operation Stay Behind was envisioned as a means of setting up guerrilla groups to either harass the Red Army in case of an invasion of Western Europe, or to conduct guerrilla warfare in the event of a communist, an independent communist takeover of a NATO country. The way Operation Stay Behind actually worked out was, as in the case of Operation Gladio, it became a right-wing terror-slash-agent provocateur operation in which bombings, assassinations, and other crimes frequently blamed on the left were performed by these intelligence services and their fascist operatives. Now, again, there was a Gladio operation that resulted in a series of bombings in Luxembourg. The head of Luxembourg's intelligence service was a guy named Marco Miel, M-I-L-L-E. I may be mispronouncing that. He debriefed Jean-Claude Juncker in 2007 about this, but he secretly tape-recorded the conversation, or recorded it using a wristwatch recording device. This was then used to blackmail, apparently, not only Jean-Claude Juncker, but also, and note this, the Grand Ducal family of Luxembourg, who were implicated in the bombings. We're going to talk about the Grand Ducal family, their role in the Bormann Capital Network, and the collaboration with Germany in Luxembourg during World War II. But note that after Marco Miel, again, the head of the Luxembourg Intelligence Service and the apparent director of these Gladio bombings, certainly someone who knew about them and was therefore complicit, after he secretly recorded Jean-Claude Juncker as he was debriefing him, eventually forcing Jean-Claude Juncker from his position as Prime Minister of Luxembourg and thereby positioning him to become head of the EU Commission, Marco Miel resigned his position as head of Luxembourg's intelligence service and became the chief of security for Siemens Corporation. Siemens is the powerful German electronics firm. It is a key element of the Bormann network, and it also is something of a quartermaster for German intelligence. When you hear the name Siemens AG, you should automatically think of the BND. So, again, one strongly suspects that Marco Miel here was operating as something of a cat's paw for BND and Underground Reich. Now, about the forced resignation of Jean-Claude Juncker as Prime Minister of Luxembourg, thereby again positioning Mr. Euro, as he was known in Germany and elsewhere, to become head of the European EU Commission. The story is from Der Spiegel of July 11th of the year 2013. It's by Hans-Jürgen Schlamp, S-C-H-L-A-M-P. It's headlined, "Goodbye, Mr. Euro. Jean-Claude Juncker may be back soon," unquote. Rather prophetic, as it turns out. Again, this from July 11th of 2013. Jean-Claude Juncker, Prime Minister of Luxembourg and Europe's longest-serving leader, stepped down on Wednesday over his implication in a spying scandal. But both his friends and his adversaries believe a comeback is likely. He helped to found the European Union and to create the common European currency. He is sometimes known as Mr. Euro, unquote, skipping down. In the 1980s, Luxembourg's spies were involved in a puzzling series of bombings, the circumstances of which remain unclear today. Together with military and intelligence agents from multiple European countries, they were part of Operation Gladio, a clandestine, illegal paramilitary organization. They worked as a parallel police force within the country that did what they liked and spied on whomever they wanted, whenever they wanted. Even the Prime Minister, their constitutionally defined boss, could not rein them in. According to the parliamentary report, intelligence chief Marco Miel reported to Juncker in January of 2007 wearing a special high-tech wristwatch. It recorded the entire talk. The matter was extremely tricky because the conversation alluded to the possible involvement of the Grand Ducal family of Luxembourg. But Juncker didn't bring it to their attention until the end of 2008. Even then, he didn't take drastic measures. Marco Miel remained in office until 2010, when he became head of security for Siemens AG. That again from Der Spiegel of July 11th. So again, the fact that this scandal forced Jean-Claude Juncker from his position as Prime Minister of Luxembourg, thereby positioning him, again, a German protege of long standing, to become head of the EU Commission. Jean-Claude Juncker is a strong advocate of the austerity doctrine that is crushing much of Europe, and his resignation was forced when Marco Miel, head of Luxembourg's intelligence service, secretly recorded a conversation in which he debriefed Juncker and used a high-tech wristwatch to record the talk. That implicated the Grand Ducal family of Luxembourg, about whom we will hear much more inside too. And then, after his resignation from his position as head of Luxembourg's intelligence service, which was involved in the Operation Gladio bombings, Marco Miel becomes head of security for Siemens AG. A very, very interesting concatenation of events indeed. We're going to hear about the Grand Ducal family. We're going to hear about what they did in Luxembourg during the war, and about Luxembourg's incorporation into the remarkable and deadly Bormann Capital Network, about which we speak so often in Side 2. This concludes Side 1 of For the Record program number 802, The Luxembourg Connection, subtitled "What the Hell Does Dave Emery Mean by Underground Reich, Part 2, being recorded on July 13th of 2014. I'm Dave Emery. Ciao.